Today, we're going to learn more about COPD and the importance of quitting smoking if you're diagnosed with COPD. And joining me today for this conversation are Dr. Uday Nanavati. He's the Director of Respiratory Care at UM Capital Region Health. And I'm also joined by Dr. Van Kim Holden. She's an interventional pulmonologist at UM Capital Region Health. Welcome to the Live Greater podcast series, Information for a Healthier You. From the University of Maryland Medical System, I'm Scott Webb. I want to thank you both for joining me today. We're going to talk about COPD, and I've seen some commercials, and sometimes when I see them, I think, what is COPD? So it's great to have experts on to answer these questions. And Dr. Holden, we'll start there. What is COPD?
So COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and it is a lung condition that is mostly found in smokers. And it's caused by injury to the airways, meaning your breathing tube, your large airways, and the small airways. And due to its name, chronic obstructive disease, it's because when people have the airway damage, it makes it harder to breathe out because there's an obstruction. The symptoms are usually shortness of breath or cough. Sometimes a cough can be very productive of phlegm because there's increase of glands that make phlegm in the airway due to the disease. And the other symptom is shortness of breath. That's usually gradually progressive, and it can get worse if not treated.
Yeah, and Dr. Nanavati, I'm sure there are some triggers. So how does that work? How do triggers work? And does it trip up the breathing or cause symptoms to flare up? Maybe you can take us through that, about the triggers specifically.
There are several triggers that will make the patient who is otherwise stable with their COPD get an exacerbation and making their symptoms worse, be it in terms of increasing cough, change in color of their sputum, or worsening dyspnea, and sometimes, unfortunately, all three. The triggers vary for the individuals. The most common triggers that we know are if you are continuing your smoking habit, that often triggers an exacerbation. Environmental triggers, such as the bad smoke exposure that we had from the Canadian wildfires. If you are exposed to environmental extreme or environmental pollution, when we hear on the radio or otherwise that it is a bad air quality day, those days are particularly difficult for patients with COPD. The third most common set of triggers is a respiratory infection, be it a viral infection or a bacterial infection, that can trigger the patient to have worsening symptoms. Finally, in my practice, I often believe that if the patients have reflux, which develops when you eat late and then go to bed within a short interval after eating, that reflux, similar to what is known in asthma, triggering asthma exacerbation in a COPD patient, reflux can trigger a COPD exacerbation. So these are some of the more common triggers that we see.
Dr. Holden, let's talk about some of the common culprits, if you will, in the environment. You know, how can folks who are suffering with COPD or living with COPD, how can they avoid them?
The most common culprit is cigarette smoking. And it's so important for patients that have COPD to stop smoking because they can actually decrease their rate of lung injury over time. Patients who have COPD who continue to smoke are actually at a higher risk of dying than those who don't smoke. So the first and most important step is to stop smoking. And this can include any form of cigarette smoking. Passive exposure to cigarette smoke can also contribute to symptoms, and so it's important to avoid passive exposures as well. Also, smoking marijuana is a risk factor for COPD. So number one, stop smoking. Number two, for patients who have other triggers, and patients may know what their individual triggers are, it's important to avoid them. And these examples can include air pollution, humidity, high pollen exposure. You can check the weather conditions to see what the pollen level is, and the extremes of temperatures. So the very cold or the very hot, humid weather can sometimes make the breathing worse. in looking at these triggers, sometimes it can overlap a lot with asthma. And so it's important to see a physician to determine which condition patients have and what is the appropriate management strategy for that condition.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, I don't know which one of you would want to take this, but in listening to you here today and trying to understand COPD, I'm wondering, do some folks, whether they quit smoking or not, do they consider moving to places where the triggers are less or less frequent? So we talk about air pollution and things like that. Do you find that folks who live or suffer with COPD, do you find that they move to get away from some of the triggers?
So I think it depends on the severity of the individual's reaction to the trigger. Most commonly, since the trigger is cigarette smoking, that is relatively controllable. And so smoking cessation is extremely important. And there's a lot of different options available to help patients stop smoking. If it's a trigger due to pollen, maybe there's an overlap with asthma, then some patients do increase the intensity of their treatment during high pollen season. Realistically, it is challenging to physically move to another location, especially given constraints with family and financial circumstances.
Yeah, and Dr. Nanavati, let's talk about indoor triggers, right? So I'm hearing today that obviously smoking is number one, but there are some other triggers, allergens, chemicals, sprays, whatever they might be. So how can folks avoid those indoor triggers?
I think that indoor pollution, we have to go back to our home heating systems and figure out whether we are using a wood fireplace. The smoke can sometimes trigger your COPD symptoms. I think more and more we are discovering that the natural gas that's used for cooking may be contributing to some of the symptoms. So I think that if you have severe COPD and if you keep getting exacerbations, I think that those are some of the things you could change. I think that secondhand smoking, again, should be avoided. So encourage all your house dwellers to quit smoking, not simply go outside and smoke, because when that person comes in, they bring the smoke back indoors. So I think that those are some of the things one can try. If you know an allergen, something that triggers your asthma-like symptoms or allergies that's indoor, again, that's something you could change and get away with having recurrent exacerbations.
Doctor, wondering, staying with you, wondering, do you find that folks who have COPD, who live with it, do you find that they're pretty good about knowing their triggers, avoiding their triggers? You know, I'm assuming that most of them, a majority of them, hopefully quit smoking, which again is no easy task, but it is certainly number one, as we're hearing today. But do you find that they're pretty good about avoiding triggers, generally speaking?
I think that once they figure out what gives them the recurrent trigger, they are pretty good about avoiding those triggers. And quite frankly, the data is still the same, that anytime somebody asks a patient to quit smoking, that increases their chance of quitting smoking. So I think that patients are pretty good once the trigger is defined. Unfortunately, there are always those rare patients where, in spite of their best efforts and physician's best effort, you cannot figure out the trigger. Once the trigger is identified, patients are generally good. I, in my practice, find that esophageal reflux, or GERD as most people know it, often triggers worsening of their symptoms. And a little lifestyle modification, avoiding taking any food for 3 hours before laying down in bed, avoids recurrent exacerbation. And patients often will change their lifestyle to avoid that trigger.
Yeah, and Dr. Holden, is it possible to be cured of COPD? Or once you have it, right, and even if you quit smoking and you avoid triggers, do you sort of always have it? And are you always living with it and managing it?
So once you have COPD, the damage that's been done has been done. So it's not reversible, but it is manageable.
Okay.
So the goal of management of COPD is to maintain the stability of the patient's breathing and their respiratory symptoms, and to prevent it from further decline or getting worse.
So, Dr. Holden, sometimes I will tell the patients that what happens is that they are still smoking and we diagnose them with an exacerbation that they have COPD. And if they quit smoking, although we have always said that the damage done is damage done, there's always that ongoing damage and ongoing injury that stops. And there is that element of healing so that your worst symptoms may never come back. So I often will do it that way or discuss with the patient the importance of quitting smoking so that not only their COPD does not get worse, but other diseases also improve.
Yeah, there's never a time when I speak with experts where they don't strongly encourage folks to quit smoking. It's just the main culprit in so many things, cancer and otherwise. And today we're talking about, you know, COPD. So, Dr. Holden, let's talk about once someone has been triggered, whether they did it to themselves or not, so they've been triggered, what do they do, right? Do they take medication? Do they go to urgent care, emergency department? In other words, what's the reaction? What's the treatment for COPD?
So the treatment depends on the severity of their exacerbation, and it can be categorized as mild, moderate, or severe. Generally, the treatment includes breathing treatments, steroids, and antibiotics. If there is any concern for breathing problems, it's important to notify your doctor as early as you can. And if your symptoms don't get better soon, it'd be important to notify the emergency room and get immediate treatment to prevent respiratory failure or trouble breathing so severe that it requires the help of a breathing machine.
I guess after the event of an exacerbation, we often strategize the treatment a little bit differently. So depending on the individual and how often they are having the triggers or exacerbations, we treat them with medications to prevent the exacerbation. And after an exacerbation, the pulmonary rehab becomes an important tool, where patients participate in structured physical exercise, education about their disease, reinforcement of how to appropriately use their inhalers, psychological counseling, smoking cessation if need be, nutritional interventions to reduce the chance of recurrent exacerbation. So in the event that you have a moderate to severe exacerbation, it is highly recommended that you participate in a pulmonary rehabilitation program.
Sure.
It's an outpatient program that spans for approximately 12 weeks with a respiratory therapist in a designated center.
Yeah, it sounds like a really multidisciplinary approach. So I love hearing that. You know, we're all patients, even doctors, of course. And I just love some of the advances in medicine and science and technology and all that. And especially these teams of folks that work together to try to help people and heal people. It's been really educational today. Dr. Nanavati, give you a first last word, if you will, today. What would be your final thoughts and takeaways about COPD?
I guess from my perspective, I would recommend everybody to avoid smoking. If you have COPD, listen to your doctors and be regular. If you take the treatment as advised, you would anticipate a reasonable control of your symptoms so that you can enjoy your life without too much of medical interventions.
Yeah, you have to have sort of reasonable expectations and be reasonable about what you can expect in your life. But as you say, we want to enjoy our lives, right? And so quitting smoking, that can only help managing our COPD. Dr. Holden, last word to you today. Final thoughts, takeaways when we think about COPD, who suffers from it, what you can do to help, and so on.
Yes, I think the final takeaway is that COPD can be managed. And part of that management includes prevention that Dr. Nanavati touched on earlier in terms of vaccinations to prevent these triggers for exacerbations. So it's important to stay up to date on the flu, COVID, and pneumococcal vaccines. And the second component is just to reiterate Dr. Nanavati's recommendation regarding medications. It's so important to make sure that the inhalers, which is the mainstay of treatment, are used correctly. And each inhaler may have a different mechanism. It's okay to ask your doctor to check how you're using your inhaler. Are you using it correctly, appropriately, when you need to? So that would be my last pieces of advice.
Yeah, and this sort of the thread that has run through all of this is if you're a smoker, quit smoking, right? Try to avoid triggers, be reasonable in the management of COPD, trust your doctors, speak with your doctors, all good stuff. So thank you both. You both stay well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
And find more shows like this one at umms.org/podcast. Thank you for listening to Live Greater, a health and wellness podcast brought to you by the University of Maryland Medical System. We look forward to you joining us again.